Baseliners like Jim Courier and Andre Agassi and others came in to start the move away from that awful crash-bang wallop serve and volley. And it was great to see it fade into obscurity when the big three banished it to the background where it deserves to be.
Okay, so you love a baseline. Hey, good for you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Well, these two are pummeling it from the baseline right now, but Dimitrov eventually goes about 6 feet long and it's 15 all at 2-4. The contrast is what I like most of all.
And exactly.
Certainly, I think that if you play tennis to a high level, to play it when you can play serve, volley, moving to the net, play at the net, play the angles, is a much more enjoyable way to play tennis than just bashing the ball from the back of the court. I mean, you want to enjoy what you're doing, don't you?
Don't ask me that question. I mean, I used to hit about one or two from the baseline. Oh, what a volley from a... Dimitrov and the drop shot down the line, then moving in, covering the courts, closing the angles, taking the next one in the air, and that was a winner. That's the play right there.
Yeah, that was good. Nicely timed.
The problem is you have to do this for never three sets. So, yeah, that's the problem.
That is a big problem. Yeah, baseline. I mean, it's too hard work banging it from the baseline all day. Just getting the point over and done with. Dimitrov served just onto the sideline, or just wide of the sideline. Two ball kids a minute ago almost collided with each other at the back of the court, then dropped the ball, then scrambled around for the ball for ages.
Double faults from Dimitrov.
Just his second of the match. And that's the problem for Dimitrov, is that he just, every now and again, is giving a few points away, but it's the pressure, the relentless pressure that Sinner presents at the other end. Never lets up.
Of course, Simon Mathieu, Kostyuk and Rus just beat Fernandez and Rutliff. And Goff and Siniakova up 6-4, down 2-love.
Backhand from Dimitrov hits the tape and actually helps, but Sinner sits and then attacks the forehand, and in the end it helps Sinner. And it's back to 30-all. I'm still looking to see if it was pineapple or if it was blueberry, because I think it was between the two, wasn't it? Might have... Is there a 1-2-3? Pineapple, blueberry, maybe. Oh, blueberries and pineapple win the fruit awards. There you go. I found the message.
Are we still in the fruit awards?
I found them. I just want to get it correct. I just want to be sure.
What's your favourite?
Oh, God, strawberries, I think. Probably.
Really?
I love strawberries. Mm. And blueberries. But probably not after you've put your hand over all of them there. Thanks for that. Sinner finds the baseline with a forehand at break point, looking to get a second break in this set. Backhand from Dimitrov. Again, this time changes it up the line. It's a good one. Sliced back from Sinner. It's mid-court. Dimitrov should put it away, and he does. Back to Juice. Break point saved.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal. Is he lost the silver?
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
They almost certainly are. A number of them have been out, won or lost, and gone back in. Some are about to come out. This is day 11 of Roland Garros 2024. It's day 11 of Radio Roland Garros. It's wonderful to have your company. We're going to round up everything that's taken place, everything that's still to come, and then in around 12 minutes' time, the first of our quarterfinalists, I nearly call them semifinalists, first of our quarterfinals will be walking out onto Philippe Chatrier. Gigi and Elena and Stefan are your team to start things off. The roof is open, it's slightly overcast, it's cooler than it has been, but Elena, Philippe Chatrier looks glorious as ever.
It looks absolutely fantastic, and a few people already starting to take their seats. It's a big day. It's a big, big day, and it's... I've done a lot of Grand Slam tournaments, as have you. Obviously, you're much, much younger than me, Empress, but it always astounds me that the first week of a Grand Slam seems to be very long, and the second week flies by. I can't believe, in some ways, that we're already here at this stage, and you know, so we will walk out at the end of this day, knowing who is going to be in the semi-finals. And I feel like we only just arrived.
Oh, no, I feel I've been here a while.
Maybe it's me.
No, I think it could be the night sessions. But we have the final one of those this evening, and we have one less match today, one fewer match, because we don't have Novak Djokovic against Casper Ruud. I was actually reading in L'Equipe today. Now, this is in L'Equipe. It's not come from any confirmed sources. But in L'Equipe today, they are saying that Novak Djokovic is having knee surgery today, which would rule him out of Wimbledon, because at least 3 weeks. But he's done it with a view to competing at the Olympics.
Yeah, and I'm not hugely surprised if that is the case. And as Gigi says, it's not 100% confirmed, but we'll probably find out very quickly if that is the case. Arthroscopic surgery is one of the options, and you almost knit the tear back together and then you begin the healing process. The other option is rest, which obviously is an infinite amount of time. It's quite difficult to predict how long rest is going to take, and then there's the danger that it's a setback. I think the thing to remember at the Olympics, because best of three sets, so although you don't get a day off in between matches because the draw is quite compressed into a week-long competition, you do at least not run the risk of getting yourself caught up in five setters. So,
yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. But as you say, at the moment, it is probably, you know, L'Equipe is a very reputable source of information, particularly on tennis. So we shall see. I mean, it's a median meniscus tear. It's a really common injury in tennis. Lots of players have it. The meniscus runs down both sides of your leg, and there's one on one side, one on the other. I think the median is the one on the inside. Medial is the one on the inside, I think. I'd want to double check that. So it's really common. It's a twisty injury. You know, when you twist your knee, any one of our listeners who are regularly doing sport, be it tennis, be it football, even rugby, anything where you have to change direction quickly, it's a risk. So it's not an uncommon injury in tennis at all.
Hashtag medial meniscus expert.
Hashtag did a lot of reading this morning. But also, I've known a lot of tennis players who've had issues with torn meniscus. So often when players have a cruciate ligament injury, which is a much more serious injury where you might be out for a year, the meniscus goes at the same time. So basically the knee gets wrenched and everything pings.
Oh, that's pleasant, isn't it? In terms of what we have for you today, in about 8 minutes' time, we're going to welcome out the first of our quarterfinalists, Jasmin Paolini, Elena Rybakina, be followed by Mira Andreeva against Aryna Sabalenka, not before 8:15 this evening, Sasha Zverev and Alex de Minaur. Elena and I are with you for the next hour. We're going to be building up and starting the first of the quarterfinals. So before we talk about that match in some detail, let's hear from the players who will be taken to the court very shortly, the Italian Jasmin Paolini and the Kazakh and the world number four Elena Rybakina.
Of course it feels so good, and I'm really happy. Today was a tough match. I didn't start so well. I was a little bit nervous maybe, but then I repeat to myself to stay calm and to try to find a way, and it went well, so I'm really happy.
You said after your win that you change something, you gain confidence. Before you didn't have this confidence. What did you change in your life to be more confident and to be able to fight and go through this rank today?
I think I just try to work on myself also on court, but also outside the court, and of course winning helps. I played some big matches last year with a few top players, and I think that helped me to have more confidence in myself. I was like, okay, I can play with those players, and match by match at the end, I think now I believe more in myself. I step on court and I say, okay, it's tough, but I have a chance, you know. And before was like, oh, I cannot win this match. I have to, do a miracle. Yeah. But now I step on court and I say, okay, I can have my chance. I have to play well, of course, but I had chances, you know. Yeah.
It seems to me that there are a lot of Italian players at the moment playing excellent tennis. Do you think it's a sort of effort a community effort, or is it a single effort for each one of you?
I think each one of us is doing her own like career, but I think you know, winning helps everybody. You know, we are pushing each other. So I think I'm really happy about this. I mean, Yannick is doing well. Lorenzo is so young, also is doing well. Arnaldi, Elisabetta, Lucia, Martina, everybody. You know, it's playing well. So we are a lot of players doing well, and yeah, I think it helps everybody to see other, you know, guys winning.
Yeah, really happy to be in the quarterfinals and looking forward for next matches.
Hi, Elena. Do you start to think about winning the title at this point, or does your mind go to Saturday in these situations?
Well, of course, the goal is always to win, and but still, I'm focusing match by match. Now I just saw that it's just me and one, so I'm just preparing for that match for now.
You've talked in the past about wanting to come to the net more, and I thought you played some nice volleys today. I'm curious, how challenging is it to implement what you're practicing on in big match situations under pressure?
Yeah, I'm trying to come to the net more often, of course. I think that's the one thing. If I improve, it's going to be easier maybe to close some rallies, but it depends, of course, on the score, if you're confident to do that or not. But slowly, I think I'm doing good progress in that.
How close to your best do you think you're playing at the moment?
Well, for now, I think I'm playing really good. As I was saying in previous press conference, I was struggling with sleep, some health issues. I think still in the past few weeks, I lost a little bit physics, lost a bit of weight, but more or less, I'm confident and feeling great and happy that I was managing to finish the matches also in two sets.
You will have to play Jasmine Paolini, and you played, I think, three times against her. What do you recall of those matches, and what do you think about her and her game?
She's a tough opponent. We played now recently in Stuttgart three sets. I was up, and she's moving well. She's also hitting the ball quite heavy, so it's going to be a lot about, of course, my footwork. I will try to focus on myself, but yeah, we know each other well, and she's been playing good now, also tough match against Elena, so we'll see.
Night sessions on Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
And just to make it clear, if you've just woken up and you've just heard Night Sessions on Roland Garros, Stefan's gone early. Stefan, you've gone early. It's 2:10, so this would be classified as the afternoon session.
As the fact that he's already got a cocktail on the go that worries me.
Yeah, he's had a cocktail. He's had his Pano Raisin, which apparently wasn't good. He went to the shop that always has a queue outside it. He deviated from the regular one we always go to and we like.
Is that the one I recommended? The one, yes.
Ooh. He said it wasn't very good.
Oh, well, I can only apologise.
I actually got a message saying, oh, it's not very good. Tomorrow we're going to go back to where we are. So I think Stefan's a bit discombobulated.
Do you know what? It's night somewhere. It's Radio Roland Garros. We're global. Somewhere, it's a night session.
Somewhere. And we have players in the tunnel. Those players you heard from, the last person you heard from was Elena Rybakina. Before, you heard from Jasmine Paolini. We're going to let them be brought out very shortly. I would say, Ooh. 2-1, Rybakina has the head-to-head. Probably not surprising when you think of the matchups and the games. It's sort of another David and Goliath meeting. Rybakina is the fourth seed. Paolini is the 12th. A first Grand Slam quarterfinal for Jasmine Paolini. And a ninth quarterfinal of 2024. For Elena Rybakina, looking for a seventh semi-final of the year. It is a big ask for Jasmine Paolini. Still going strong in the doubles, but this is tough.
It's very, very tough. It's as tough as it gets in lots of ways. But this is a significant breakthrough for her, and it's very much deserved. She has to tell herself that she deserves her place here just as much as Rebecca does. She's won the same number of matches, and as she takes that famous walk up the stairs that always look a little bit steep, and she's got quite short legs. It's quite a long way up if you're Jasmine Paolini.
And there's a lot of bags she's carrying. So let's get her out onto Philippe Chatrier. Introduction to come.
La première joueuse à rentrer sur le court est 15e mondiale. Elle a remporté deux titres dans sa carrière. Pour la première fois en quart de finale en Grand Chelem, elle est italienne. Voici Yasmine Paolini.
And she got her biggest title this year, winning the WTA 1000 in Dubai. She's also won a WTA 1000 doubles. That was in Rome alongside Sara Errani. She is on the verge of the top 10. And when I say the verge, if she were to win today, she would make her top 10 debut. As things stand, she's sitting around 13th and she's the 12th seed here. But the task that she faces, the mountain that she must overcome to book her place in her first Grand Slam final, is the next lady you are going to hear welcomed out onto Philippe Chatrier.
Elle s'est imposée à celle qui est quatrième joueuse mondiale, qui a remporté 8 titres dans sa carrière, dont un en Grand Chelem à Wimbledon en 2022, la Kazakh Elena Rybakina.
Who warmed up for this match, practicing against Arina Sabalenka. Elena Rybakina, fourth seed, makes her way out. She's got 43 wins against top 20 players. She owns three clay court titles, most recently indoors in Stuttgart. Five finals in 2024, and she has won three of them. That is the task that Jasmine Paolini is facing, as Paolini is immediately into the centre. The mascots are there, the chair umpire. We wait for Elena Rybakina to sort her bits and pieces out, and then we will run through the housekeeping.
I tell you what, it's a lemon posset double, because both players are wearing a sort of white and lemon ensemble. In the case of Rybakina, it's this very pale lemon as she just walks up to toss the ball. Paolini has a white top and a pale lemon skirt. They're just stopping to have their photo taken with the very lucky mascots. I noticed both players made a point of turning around saying thanks very much to the mascots that they walked out with.
So ladies, we have a wonderful procedure. I call the net. The towels are the same color as the towels box. The shot clock is on the scoreboard or across the chair. Do you have any question? No question? So, hold on, sorry. Excusez-moi. Player or ball?
Player.
Player? Player and ball. Allez.
Right, here comes coin toss.
Ball. Serve? Have a good match.
Oh, there you go. How often do players say they'll receive to test out the nerves of their opponent? Rybakina wins the toss, and then a heartbeat says, I'll serve.
Well, if you have a serve like Elena Rybakina, you might as well use it. Excellent work on the coin toss, by the way, by the young man who must be about, what, seven, do we think? Yeah, seven or eight? He did the full thumb flick.
I wonder if he was practicing that last night.
You would, wouldn't you?
You would.
It's a lot.
Because it's quite a heavy coin. It's not just like a normal whatever it is and whatever currency. It's quite a chunky thing. So, no, I agree. I think he did it very well. The voice of Paola Vieira Sousa, the chair umpire. She's back in her chair. The players are sorting themselves out on court. The warm-up has begun. The first of the two quarter-finals. So the winner will face the winner of the match that follows this. Mira Andreeva, just 17 years of age, against a Arina Sabalenka, the night session to come this evening. And something that Rybakina has been speaking about is her movement, because people have noticed that on this surface the movement has improved. She's very, very tall. You could say lanky in some sense. I mean that in a positive sense of the word. But she has spoken that the movement is something that she found very difficult at first on the clay, but they have spent a lot of time working on it.
And movements, you know, a lot of players find it difficult on the clay because it's a loose surface. If you think about, you know, and unless it's just been watered, or in the case of lots of days last week, it's just rained. No, there's going to be this light dusting. So the surface moves with you, and that can be really disorientating and disconcerting. If you're used to hard courts, for example, where you plant your foot and that's where you push off, it affects everything about the shot making. And so you know, I think it is the key to playing well on clay, and it, well, more importantly, I think it's the key to feeling confident on clay.
Yeah, absolutely. Just got a shot of Stefan Vukov, the coach of Elena Rybakina, who is head to toe. He's been Yonexed, if that's the thing. But even to the point where he's got Yonex sweatbands on, and it's A, he's not running around, but B, it's not a day for sweatbands. He's got the baseball cap, the sweatbands, the t-shirt, he's got the hoodie, he's got the shoes, the socks, the trousers, he has been Yonexed. The other thing to remember about Elena Rybakina is she's not lost more than four games. She hasn't dropped a set, she hasn't lost more than four games in this run to the quarterfinal at Roland Garros. She pulled out of the defense of her Rome title with illness. She's not afraid. You have to do what's right for you, but if she doesn't feel right, that it doesn't matter where or what it is, that's it, done. She's out. She won't be like, I will try and force myself because I'm defending a title. She'll be like, I don't feel right. It's not right for me. I won't play.
Yes, and we've seen her pull out of a few tournaments, which is really unfortunate, obviously, primarily for her, but also for those events. But, you know, I think that is a mild concern, and this is, you know, complete speculation, but it does suggest she is someone who has these periods of illness, and there's, you know, discussion about whether her immune system is struggling a bit with just playing at this level week in, week out, and she might just need to manage her schedule accordingly, take longer breaks. But it's I think it's very sensible. She's still very young. To make those decisions and put body and mind as well first.
Yeah, absolutely. She's just been introduced to the crowd. You may have heard the word Wimbledon in there, former Wimbledon champion. Jasmine Paolini dropped a couple of sets in the first couple of rounds. She hasn't dropped any in the more recent rounds to get to the stage. And as I mentioned, she's still going strong in the doubles. Now she has a win-loss record of 1-2 and lost 7 when it comes to top 10 players. The only top 10 player she's faced at a Grand Slam, she has lost that match. She's looking for 5 consecutive wins on clay for the first time. Her best result on clay was runner-up at the Palermo event in 2023. And this is her third quarterfinal of 2024.
But the biggest one.
But the biggest one.
And that is going to have a bearing, and it'll be interesting to see, certainly in the first few games, to see just how she's coping with the occasion, with what's at, you know, with what is at stake here today. And of course, with the opponent, she's playing, as we said, someone who knows what it's like to lift a Grand Slam trophy. And all of those things will in. If she plays at her best, I think she could certainly trouble Rybakina, but any sign of weakness will be exploited and is likely to be punished. I'm expecting Rybakina to do what Rybakina does best. The serve, obviously, I think it's the cornerstone of most players' games, but in Rybakina's case, it's, I would say, currently the best serve in the women's game.
You can hear the flagpoles fluttering and clanking. Serve down the tee, back through the middle of the court, into the net comes Rybakina. She's passed by Paolini on the stretch.
It wasn't the most convincing approach from Elena Rybakina. She's sort of more of a casual wander into the net to see what might happen, and Paolini alive to the opportunity there, and that's what she needs to do. Any moment where she sees even the smallest sliver of light, she needs to kick that door open.
She's got to get close to the door handle, though.
Well, and that's the problem with Rybakina.
Yeah, that's out wide as Paolini just adjusts the high ponytail. At Radio Underscore RG, get in touch with Mad Hermita as talking about the Paolini sets won and lost in which round. You are right, she did lose against Avanesian, and she did lose a set against Bianca Andreescu. So it hasn't been plain sailing, but she does have a couple of straight set wins under her belt on this run to her first quarter final of a Grand Slam. 15-30. That serve misses down the tee. She won the toss and elected to serve Elena Rybakina. French Open Radio, FFT.fr. Get in touch with us. Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you listening? Dropped the ball very low, dumped it in the middle of the net, and break points for Paolini.
Well, this is an early and I think, unpredicted turn of events. And this is so important, I think, for Paolini's chances, at least in this first set.
Get a beast of a serve, but Paolini gets something on it. She goes down and Paolini scrambles throughout the backhand side. That's all she can do. And that's the first of the two break points saved. And back in there, there's no fuss and bother. Pretty much quickly back into position. You can see the bottom of her dress fluttering in the breeze as she reaches up. She has the visor on. It's internet off the serve out wide. It's juice. She has a plait to her back in it that hangs down between her collarbones. And she's got the red rimmed racket with white handle, and she serves and misses down the tee.
This is an example of how quickly those chances can be snuffed out when you're playing a player who serves as well as Rybakina does.
Absolutely. Forehand scooped off the baseline from Rybakina. It is juice. The squash shot from Rybakina will not find the court. And that's another opportunity to get the break. Two minutes on the clock. They move through pretty quickly. Coco Gauff and Katerina Siniaková are through to the semi-finals of the doubles for loss of just two games. Cross-court backhand goes Paolini, and she's got the break. Just a little fist bump towards her box. She turns around and marches back towards her bench. But a great start from the Italian. Not the best of starts from the Kazakh, but early stages, an early break to Jasmine Paolini.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because as you said, when the coin toss happened, Rybakina was like, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve. That's what I do. I'm going to serve. And actually, it's turned out that receiving first was something of an advantage for Paolini, because it's actually Rybakina who's looking as though she's taking longer to settle. Paolini is just looking like she's absolutely in her backyard court, isn't she? She's walking around. She's looking up at the crowd. She's certainly not appearing to be in any way overawed by the situation she finds herself in. And if you didn't know these two players, you would say that Rybakina was the one who was walking into a relatively new situation, and that Paolini was the one who'd won a Grand Slam title.
Absolutely. They've changed ends, and Paolini will now serve. Nets off the first serve.
Very early days, of course.
You see a lot of emails talking about that fruit that's in the middle of the desk. It turns out I can't say it properly, which a lot of people are pointing out. Forehand cross court to the forehand down the line from Rybakina, and it's deep, and it's 15 love.
You can't say pineapple.
People are saying that I almost say pineapple.
Tell you what, you'd want some antibiotics for that,
rather
wouldn't
than you? Pineapple. So I haven't really said it since.
As if you were
pineapple.
Yes.
Rather than pineapple. But I need to get more pine than pie. Do you see?
I do. I think it might be an accent thing.
Possibly. But Marcus was loving it.
Obviously.
Serve out wide, inside the baseline, the backhand cross court from Rybakina. Rybakina redirects and she misses by away. Her radar is not tuned in. And it is 30 love. And Stefan Vukov, her coach, who's now near her, is just sending down some words of encouragement. But as Eleanor rightly said, it's very early stages. Serve into the centre of the box. Forehand thundered back and deep. Great depth on that forehand. Dropped over from Rybakina. More of a miss hit. Inside out forehand from Paolini, who's inside the baseline. She is dominating. And she crunches the forehand cross court for the winner and 40 love.
It's a very, very confident start. So Paolini is playing doubles with Sara Errani, who, of course, was runner-up here.
Yeah.
And Errani has, from what I gather, been giving Paolini a bit of mentoring, talking to her about what it takes to reach the latter stages here, how to handle these occasions. It's not bad to be able to call on that sort of experience, is it?
No, and as I say, they won the doubles title in Rome, and their reaction was so lovely to see. And as you say, it's a good combination. She's not a spring chicken at 28, but compared to the veteran and the experience of Sara Errani, it's good to have someone like that in your corner who's been there, seen it and done it.
Yes, I mean, it's less about age in Paolini's case and actually more that she's in somewhat uncharted waters at this point.
Rybakinet needs to settle because she hasn't, but she misses the first serve out wide. Serves down the tee, the forehand's in play through the middle, a forehand cross-court and flat from Rybakina. Rybakina hooks it long. She's starting to get a little bit frustrated now, Rybakina. Serve's not working, the ground strokes aren't working. You won't really be able to tell by her expression. It stays the same, very neutral. An amazing poker player.
She'd be great in a crisis, actually. And yeah. Not very a tennis calm. Crisis, a genuine crisis.
Very calm. Ace, but then she could pop up with those. It's going to help her out, especially these early stages as she looks to get herself back on track. Serve down the tee, blocked back with the backhand. It sits up high and it's cross court and very deep from Rybakina. Then she leathers the forehand down the line. Then she goes drop shot, but she nets. It landed at the bottom of the net.
Well, we did her Rybakina's first match here against Greet Minnan, which seems now quite a long time ago, in the first round. And she made a start rather like this against Minnan. And then within about 5 to 10 minutes, she'd almost come to her senses and was starting to hit winners freely, not miss balls like that.
Points for a double break for Jasmine Paolini. Who would have predicted this with 8 minutes on the clock of this quarterfinal? She's getting a lot of gifts from Rybakina, but she's matching that with good, steady, settled play. 15-40, love two. Heavy, heavy serve, and that is what she has in her armory.
And that's why she will always be such a dangerous opponent, whatever the surface. She also has a temperament that allows her to deliver that, for the most part, when she needs it.
Ace number three gets us to juice.
Going back to that first round match against Minnan, as you mentioned, Rybakina hadn't played in a while. She'd been off with illness. She was playing a first match back for a few weeks. So that was much more understandable, I think.
Serve down the tee, mid-court return, forehand cross-court. She comes forward, she doesn't need to follow it up. It flies past Paolini. And from 15-40, we have game point. Remember, she's still a breakdown, if you're just joining us. Elena Rybakina, the fourth seed, is a breakdown to Jasmine Paolini. But she has a game point to get her first game on the board. Serves out wide. It's a lofted ball that will not find the court. Some more positive signs from Rybakina's point of view towards the end of that third game. But it is Jasmine Paolini, the 28-year-old from Italy, who leads 2-1 with the break.
Now, don't forget that you are always part of the conversation here at Radio Roland Garros. Arguably, you're the best part of the conversation. And you can tweet us at radio_RG. You can email us, French Open Radio, and that is all one word, at fft.fr.
We've had some results today. Horacio Zabias and Marcel Granollers, the top seeds, the world number one pairing. They got that world number one ranking in Madrid this year. They've come through against Zhang Zhizhen and Thomas Mahach for the loss of just 5 games. That's to book their place in the semi-finals. Congratulations to them. They'll be joined in the semi-finals by Simone Bolelli and Andrea Vavasori, the 11th seeds, who came from a set down to beat Rajiv Ram and Joe Salisbury, the third seeds, book their place in the semis. And also, I mentioned through to the semis, Coco Gauff and Katerina Siniakova have beaten Kichanok and Kato with a loss of just 2 games.
Would you like a trivia question? Because Max has one.
I would love one.
Paolini has an I at the end of her name. Can you name the 10 women to reach a Roland Garros semi-final in the Open era? In singles, this is. With an I at the end of their surname. I'll give you a big clue. We've already mentioned one of them.
Irani.
Well, Yes, I thought I'd leave it to the listeners.
Oh, I thought you actually said to me, would you like a quiz question? So
would you like one to be unleashed onto our very knowledgeable...
Well, we've started you off.
We've started you off very nicely. I'm only saying that I got told off by Simon for doing exactly that.
Oh,
I was
you?
Like the kid in... Hi, maybe I'm... Hand up, giving the answer, and he told me off because he suggested quite rightly that our listeners might want the opportunity to have a think about it. Sorry. I mean, they might not. Sorry. But knowing what they're like, they do like to join in with these things.
2150 love, I shall say no more about names with eyes in them.
Kevin says, if I'm the best part of the conversation, wow, have your standards fallen. Not true, Kevin.
Backhand cross court off the return from Rebecca, a double hander for Rebecca, a scoop top and long.
Scott says, bonjour from North Carolina. I was wondering what the dog's name is from yesterday's show. Somehow I missed the naming yesterday. As always, thanks for the great commentary.
Nepier.
Now, the dog in question was...
I just made that up, but that is...
No, that sounds right. It was a lovely guide dog. I'm reliably informed it was a flat-haired retriever. I think that's
what
they called.
Flat.
Flat-haired retriever.
Oh. Rebecca now with a double-handed backhand. She lofts up that ball and she lofts it long. And Paulini's on course for back-to-back love holds around her break of the Rebecca serve.
Big court, big match, big opponent. No problem.
Big start. The net just got in the way.
And the dog that we're talking about, Nepia, is here as a guide dog with a visually impaired broadcaster who is a few commentary boxes down from us.
Backhand redirects up the line from Rebecca, a squash shot. Paulini. Rebecca comes in, drops the ball over. Paulini gets to it, scoops it up the line, and wins the point. Fantastic work from Jasmine Paulini, and that is back to back love holds for a 3-1 first set lead.
For Philippe Chatrier now, I would say, what do we think, about 2/3 full, probably. Starting to fill up more and more as this match gets underway. And I think people who are perhaps starting their day at Roland Garros with a cup of coffee, or they've been watching the doubles, or they've been having a look around, may have suddenly looked at the scoreline here and said, ooh, upset. Ooh, what's going on?
Well, they should definitely have had lunch by now, with the time being 2:37. 1-3. Rebecca serves down the tee. The backhand through the middle of the court. The forehand is flattened into the corner. Another forehand. You can see the little steps there taken by Rebecca, who shuffles. And she doesn't set herself. And the backhand goes cross court and wide. And it's love 15. I'm not yet getting nervous about my pick for the title, but I might shortly kick in. You can see the breeze blowing the flags outright. It's a windy day. It's cooler than it was yesterday. And the sun is having difficulty finding some space through the clouds. Rebecca to serve out wide. The stretch off the backhand. She switches play cross court. Paulini reads it, but nets on the slide.
And if you hear the occasional clack, clack, clack in your headphones, if you're listening to us and you hear that, that's actually just the sound of the flag ropes along the side of the flagpoles just clattering slightly.
Forehand cross court. They're forehand cross courting each other. Down the line goes Rebecca. Rebecca double handed backhand. Takes a bit of pace off that ball. Down the line. Come on, you heard.
Is cross courting a verb? Is it a word?
I thought it painted the picture.
It painted the picture beautifully.
They were cross courting each other.
They were. And then before Jasmine Paulini down the line.
Redirected. No, that would be down the line. That would be facetious now.
Sorry.
15-30. 1-3. Serve down the tee. The spinny forehand mid-court. The forehand's replaced inside out. Very flat. Draws the error 30-all. In terms of when they have met, they first met in Rome in 2023 in the second round. Rebecca straight sets. That took just over an hour and a half. They would then meet in Cincinnati on the hard courts later that year in the third round. And Paulini would come through. I think there was a retirement there for Elena Rebecca because it says 4-6-5-2. And then in Stuttgart this year, the quarterfinal stage, the title that Rebecca would go on to win. As Rebecca comes forward, clips the top of the net. It will go wide and it's break point for Jasmine Paolini for a double break and a 4-1 lead. And it would be Rybakina who had come through 6-3, 5-7, 6-3 in just over 2 hours indoors in Stuttgart this year. Break point. At break point in all of the Rybakina service games so far. 16 minutes played. It's a big serve. Serve down the tee. Snap back with some spin on the off forehand. It's sort of heaved across the court. Low over the net with the backhand Rybakina. Rybakina redirects and places it mid-court. And does draw the air. She's not getting the, giving the pace of ball to Paolini. Just dropping these balls mid-court.
Well, having played Paolini before, that's obviously a tactic that has worked against her in the past. But it's a dangerous one. Because the way Paolini has started, she's going to punish those short balls.
I thought when you started, having played her before, I was like, when? Deuce, the break point is saved. The danger is gone for now. Backhand through the middle of the court. They're playing through the middle of the backhand. The slice into the net from the Italian, and it is game point for Rybakina.
Well, if I had played it before, you can guarantee that it would have been mid-court, very slow balls if I'd got any over the net.
Oh, no, Max has sent you the answers, not me, because it says answers for Eleanor.
Oh, thank
right,
you.
Right, so I'll leave those to you. Game point for Rybakina. Serves into the net out wide with the first serve. Looks up, looks down. Handful of bounces. Serve down the tee, and it's a ace. Past the outstretching Paolini. Keeps it to just the one breaker serve, but she has faced break points in all three service games so far. It is 3-2 in favour of the Italian.
Yes, it's something of a spoiler alert from Max for our Twitter audience, because, of course, they can see them.
But they were addressed to you, Eleanor, so keep them safe.
I'll keep them very
safe.
Keep
them safe. Now, for Paolini's run, it was the second two rather than the first two matches where she dropped the set. It's because it's day 11 and an early start, earliest start. So straight sets against Savile and Baptiste, and then it was the three sets against Andreescu and Avanesyan. For Rybakina, Eleanor's talked about the Greek Minin match, still got through the loss of just 5 games, an hour and 13 minutes, which has been her longest match so far. Against Roos, it was an hour and 7, 3 and 4. Against Mertens, an hour and 7, 4 and 2. And against Svitolina, the 19th seed, an hour and 9 minutes, 4 and 3.
Harry Middleton. Harry has emailed an answer. He says, my answer, I'm on holiday in Bridlington near Leeds. Is it Gabriella Sabatini? Well,
that's one of them.
Well done to the man in Bridlington. A couple of Italians in there. That's my clue. And an American player of Italian heritage.
Including the Italian that I named?
Yeah.
Off forehand, the backhand cross court, the double hander from Paolini. This one goes through the middle, a miss hit from Rybakina. Didn't step out the way of that ball. It lands in the middle of the tram lines.
So I think Max has missed one out. Looking at his list.
Are you questioning Max? My word.
I am, but when I explain why, you'll understand that it's allowable.
Backhand redirects up the line, the forehand into the centre from Paolini. It clips top of the net from Rybakina. It does land in. Paolini keeps it in play. Mid-court ball now from Rybakina. Rybakina switches to the backhand down the line now. Forehand from Rybakina, cross court to the forehand, cross court, and low from Paolini. It zips through underneath the racket of Rybakina.
Alex says, on TV, Rybakina seems more vulnerable than usual. Is that also true on site? He also wants to know, did Gigi have a boar saucisson rather than a sausage?
It was sanglier saucisson. It was saucisson, which was unusual in its taste, if I'm honest. serve through the centre of the court from Paolini. Snatch back on the forehand from Rybakina. Rybakina nets. Cross court. She's not moving that well so far today, Rybakina. And would you believe Paolini's going for a hat-trick of love holds against the world number four with the break to move her to 4-2.
I think if you'd offered Paolini before this match, you're going to have break points in all Rybakina's games, and you're going to hold, and you're going to break one of them, and you're going to hold really comfortably on all your service games. She'd have taken that.
Oh, she'd have bitten your arm off.
And in answer to your question, Alex, yes, Rybakina certainly does look very vulnerable. Things have not clicked for her, for whatever reason.
She's inside the baseline, she hits the top of the net, she hangs her head, she looks up to her box. Stefan Vukov being a little bit more gestury. Another new word there, gestury. And it's 4-2 and three love holds for Paolini, who's in dreamland at the moment, but she will not rest on her laurels because she's still facing a very dangerous player in Elena Rybakina.
Yes, logic and experience of watching Elena Rybakina and her achievements would all suggest that at some point she's going to click into gear. Now, that may not happen, but you do feel that she can play an awful lot better than she is.
So, Rybakina came forward off the return of serve, completely mishit the ball, looks down at the clay as if to blame it. The ball shoots off into the stands, and it's love 15-2-4. So now Rybakina's up on her toes, and there's a couple of sort of mild words from Stefan Vukov. He's looking at his watch, probably checking the time we're at, which is 22 minutes. Serve kicks up out wide. The backhand is placed up the line. Forehand is netted.
Obviously, we're talking a lot about the fact that Rybakina has not, for whatever reason, brought her A game so far today. But obviously, you know, it takes two players out there. Paolini has started really well. And there is a reason why she's in the quarterfinals of Roland Garros. She has earned her place just as much as anybody else, and certainly just as much as Rybakina.
Serve down the tee, inside the base, with the backhand to the centre of the court. Backhand swung cross-court and wide from Rybakina. Just take a little look.
Paolini is experienced enough to know that she needs to make this count.
Well, how about this? 11 unforced errors already for Rybakina to the one from Paolini. Paolini just edging the winners 6-5. 15-30, served down the tee, a loftable back through the middle of the court. The forehand is loose and long and loopy. Break points again on the Rybakina serve, two of them convert here, and Paolini serves for a very comfortable first set. Should be a set away from the Roland Garros semi-finals. Serve down the tee, it's a beast of a serve that adds to the ace count, moves to five aces.
And to quote John McEnroe, chalk flew up on that one. Absolutely plumb on the line from Rybakina. Still in trouble here, though.
Needs another big serve. She'll have another go at it because it shot off the top of the net but landed in the service box. The ball boy, bless him, was so focused, didn't realise she needed another ball. She doesn't keep the spare ball, just turn around and has another one because this is a first serve. Serve down the tee, the forehand, the inside-out forehand play from Paolini. Paolini at break point, hammers it to the forehand. That's a miss hit. It will find the court. Low to the feet, Rybakina, who tees off with a forehand, a beautiful forehand line winner to level up at deuce.
Well, that's the Rybakina we've come to know, the one we've come to expect, particularly in these big matches.
25 minutes played, deuce. She's going to get herself out of another hole here, Rybakina. Misses the serve down the tee. The scurrying feet of the ball boys. They're back into position at the back of the court behind Paolini. Paolini goes even further back. Now, it's a double fault. There was absolutely no pressure on the Rybakina serve with Paolini moving back, moving deeper in the court, and she has a third opportunity for a 5-2 lead.
Paolini is playing well, but she's also getting an awful lot of help from Rybakina at this stage.
Her serve goes out wide. It's flicked through the middle of the court. Inside in goes Rybakina, and she's missed. She has missed, and she has broken for a second time in this first set. And very shortly, Jasmine Paolini will be serving for the first set at 5-2 after 26 minutes.
Well, this is what the Australians might call a head-scratcher. It's a confusing scoreline, isn't it? And it's one of those scorelines that lots of people around Roland Garros, you know, in the media centre or strolling around, if they see a scoreboard, will do a double take and check back and make sure they've got the names the right way round. Because this isn't what anyone expected to see. And I say that with lots and lots of respect to Jasmina Paolini, who's, as I keep saying, played very well today and played very well throughout this tournament. But Rybakina is a class act. She's a fourth seed here. She's been in Grand Slam finals, won Grand Slam titles. She's been one of the best players of the last 2 years, without question, for me. And she is a phenomenal talent with significant weapons. At the moment, those weapons are misfiring very badly.
They certainly are. First player out, Rybakina, Jasmine Paolini.
So Sarah in Brisbane has noted Jennifer Capriati would be one of the players we're looking for. We're looking for 10 players, 10 women, who have an I at the end of their name, who've reached the semi-finals or better at Roland Garros.
5-2. Paolini serving for the set at 5-2. This is the first serve. New balls in play. Didn't show the new ball to Rybakina, but knows what to expect. Cuts that second serve short. The forehand is lofted in court. The backhand is swung cross-court by Paolini. Paolini with double-handed backhand to the feet of the backhand through the middle of the court for Rybakina. Rybakina opens the forehand and goes cross-court, and then she goes back behind, and there is no way that Rybakina can make that move to get back into position, and Paolini is 3 points from the set.
A player, incidentally, that Max hasn't included is Li Na. And I would say that...
Oh, yes.
It depends on how you say the Chinese name. They don't necessarily use surnames in the same way as us, but Li would, I think, be the equivalent of surname. So I would include Li Na.
2 points from the set, Jasmine Paolini. 28 minutes played, 5-2, 30 love. Paolini serves down the tee and she aces. She gets her first ace of the match, and it brings up triple set points. And again, she's looking to have no points against the Paolini serve in this first set. It's truly astonishing. Serves down the tee, the forehand slam through the middle of the court, inside out forehand, the backhand cross court from Rybakina. Rybakina with the backhand down the line. She's got it, and she has a point on the Paolini serve.
Well, every now and again in this first set, we've had flashes of the Rybakina that we expected to see, haven't we? And there was an example. Sudden moments of brilliance, but what she hasn't been able to do is been able to string those moments of brilliance together. And instead, what we've had is moments of brilliance followed by aberrations.
Good serve, equally good return. Rybakina with a short ball goes cross-court and wide. Way too many unforced errors from Elena Rybakina. 16 in total from the Kazakh, but just 1 point lost on the Paolini serve, which is truly extraordinary. Yes, she had a helping hand, but boy, did she settle well, and she played her game. She was not distracted by anything that was going on, and she takes it in half an hour by 6-2.
You can only play the person in front of you, and you're not responsible for how they play, and Paolini has done her part to get into this position. She hasn't been overawed by the occasion, by the opponent, by the crowd, by this beautiful court. But she will know that Rybakina can play an awful lot better than this. She will be ready for the fight back when it comes, if it comes. And Rybakina has a lot of work to do, but she has ample weapons to be able to do that. So we shall see. A couple of those other names. What have we got so far on the players whose names end in I, who have been in the Roland Garros semi-finals and singles? Capriati, Irani we've had, of course, who's, as we've been saying, is something of a mentor to Paolini. Sabatini. Roberta Vinci would be the other Italian. Eva Maioli, of course, the champion here. beat, trying to think what year, my only one, 97, I'm going to say, could be wrong. You should get this. She's been doing a lot of interviews here at Roland Garros. A friend of Radio Roland Garros, of course, Marion Bartoli. Sabina Lisicki. Virginia Ruzici.
Just reading a tweet from Quentin Moynet from L'Equipe, which says that Novak Djokovic decided to take an operation Wednesday morning. The minimum recovery is 3 weeks. He won't be allowed to play Wimbledon. His participation in the Olympics depends on his reaction to the intervention. And that's just coming as a quote, information from the French sports newspaper L'Equipe. Right, we're underway with the second set. A blink of an eye, we're up and running. And Rybakina, 15-love. First game, second set. We'll be changing the commentary team in around 5 minutes. Sophie is here, just waiting for, I believe, Simon, is it? The off forehand return, the double-handed backhand cross-court. Rybakina goes inside in, forehand whip cross-court onto the line. Finishes her slide, Paolini, while fist-pumping the winning of the point.
Are you saying Simon, is it, because you've forgotten his name? Or because you've forgotten who's coming in and after us? Is it Simon?
The second one. The second one. Because I'm already working on the schedule for tomorrow, so everything starts blending into one, which is why every now and then I might say day 12, because I'm already ahead on day 12. But it is day 11.
There have been a lot of days, and some of them have been really, really long.
Yes.
We know Sophie's coming in. We know that
much. Well, we've heard Sophie for about the last 20 minutes. Rebecca in the middle of the court. The off backhand from Paolini. Paolini with a backhand cross court down her haunches. The stretch from Rebecca goes cross court. Just looking ungainly on the clay today, Rybakina.
Well, she's just very much below par. And you know, maybe she's not feeling well. Maybe it's very hard to believe that she's overawed by the situation, given the level of experience she had. And while Paolini's playing well, Paolini is not playing lights-out tennis. She's playing sensible, measured, assured tennis.
Yeah, she's not having to, is she? 15-30, serve out wide on the angle, the backhand cross-court. Rybakina goes inside out, and it was a clever play because she went back behind Paolini.
Do you feel like if the Rybakina fight back's going to come, it needs to come fairly soon? Obviously, it needs to come in this set, goes without saying, but I just feel like she needs to find herself. She's not looking herself.
No, she's not. And even her team, Stefan Vukov, has now put the Yonex jumper over the Yonex T-shirt. He's got the hood up. Still fiddling with his watch, but he's even not being that irate. So whether he knows something, as in how she's feeling before she went out there, or he just have huge amounts of faith that she will turn it around as she holds. And she is on the board in the second set, holding serve for one game to love.
Well, I have to say, I have faith that she will turn it around, but she needs to do something fairly quickly. There is a chance, of course, that Paolini, when she gets close to finding herself in a Roland Garros semi-final, may start to have a bit of a wobble, show some vulnerability, and that will give Rybakina the spur that she needs. We'll see how this plays out, but definitely we are seeing Elena Rybakina in about second gear so far. Lots and lots of unforced errors. She's an aggressive player, she's an attacking player at her best, so you are going to get the odd errors, but those, it's not that sort of error. It's not overhitting because she's going for it too much. It's very strange, floaty balls that land a metre side of the tram line.
Break points in all her service games in the first set, and Paolini dropped 1 point on serve. Paolini through the middle of the court with a backhand, cross-court backhand from Rybakina. Rybakina goes through the centre again, very deep from Rybakina. She does draw the error, and she gets love 15.
Gigi, have you met Simon?
Hi, Simon. I was trying to remember who is next in our schedule, and I made the point is because I'm already doing Thursdays and Fridays schedule, so I'm getting a little confused at my old age. Off forehand return from Rybakina, who steps back and launches into an inside out forehand, sits up, backhand brought down, cross court Paolini. Paolini with a backhand cross court, zipping up the stretch up the line from Rybakina. Rybakina settles for a forehand, but she misses. Another unforced error off the racket of the Kazakh.
Oh, what's Sophie bought? She's bought gifts.
It looks quite heavy. What is it? What is it? What is it?
I don't. Well, it's some sort of pastry dish. Some baked good. Yeah, it's a baked good.
They're called financiers.
Financier. Oh, excellent.
And some have almonds and some are plain. Those are my favorite baked goods.
So they're cakes that are good at maths.
Yeah. They're so good.
Don't shake your
very
head at me.
Very soft.
I got such a disapproving head shake from the Empress just now. I feel
withered. Of your comments?
Of my comments.
Sun's come out.